If you're able, please stand and join us for the call to worship. You call us to hope in you,
so the world might have hope.
You call us to be transformed,
so the world might be transformed.
You call us to free others,
so we might be free.
You call us to welcome radically,
so
we might be welcome. You call us to serve others, so we might see your face. Okay, turn next to the people around you and greet them in the peace of Christ.
Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Try that again. Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Welcome to worship. Do me a favor. Look at your neighbor and say, I am glad.
I am glad.
I didn't believe you at all. Try that again. I am glad,
that you are here.
Now look at somebody else and say, God loves you. And there's nothing you can do about it. That's right. That's all I want you to know today is that I am glad you're here. because there is lots and lots of places you could be right now, but you have chosen to be here in God's house among God's people, and for that, I am grateful. So thank you for being here this morning, and if you don't hear anything else that we have to say today, hear this. God does love you, and there's not a thing that you can do about it. And I hope by the time you leave here today, you trust that in a little more than you did when you got here this morning. Today during our worship experience, we're going to hear God's word. We're going to pray our prayers. We're going to take an offering. We are going to check in with how we're doing with some mission stuff. But most importantly today, we are here to support and gather with each other. And so we can go out into the world and be of service to our community around us. I think it is time for us to get into our children's moment next. Is that right? Yeah, why don't our kids come on down forward? If there's any kids that are still here, come on down and spend a few minutes with Pastor Jeff. Jayden, you want to come with me? Come on down. Actually, Mr. Mark wants you to do something with him first. Miss Amy, come on here. Our kids have got a present for our friend Miss Amy. Here, let me have a seat. If you guys remember Amy Brown, about a month ago came to worship with us. She's the director of the NOAA Project in Central City of Detroit, a place that does homeless ministry, and she challenged us to bring in some socks. So Amy, our kids have a present here for you today. Here in the middle, it's fine. We don't have to pick them all up. Look at all that. Hey, how are you?
Good.
Good to meet you, man. Hey, come on up here, Jayden. Come on up. It's Amy. Make a spot for Miss Amy right next to Pastor Jeff, okay? Hey, guys, this is Miss Amy. Miss Amy asked us to go get her some socks. Don't. Important.
Their feet dry in the winter because socks are the number one preventer of frostbite for our homeless brothers and sisters. Thank you.
So they work, socks are really important for the people who we work with at the NOAA Project who are usually homeless. And as I was saying, they're the number one preventer of frostbite. And also socks are a way for us to begin to build relationships with individuals.
How many socks do you think Amy asked us to get? How many?
1,000 and 2 million. It felt like it, right? 1,000 and 2 million socks.
Well, she asked us to get 1,000 pairs
of socks. Do you want to guess how many we got?
Over.
As of, two pairs of socks. That's a lot of socks. And guess how many our friends at Canton Friendship had? They had 1,462 pairs of socks. Yes, so we beat them by 10 pair.
Amy, what can tell
kids about what they need to know about being able to serve God and serve people in some really easy ways.
So I think some easy ways to serve God are just to be welcoming and just to share God's love through a smile or a hug or a how are you doing, just to show God's love by being a light of God or letting God's light shine through you.
Well, good. As you guys get ready for Sunday school today, let's say a prayer together, okay? Fold your hands and let's pray. Thank you for letting me help you. With these socks, may your friends know that they are loved too. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Amy, receive these socks on behalf of Royal Oak First. We're grateful to give them to you on March 1st. We can put them over there now. It's good. It's just Thanks, Kathy. There's more in the box, so we're really going to win this party, man. How you doing, sweetie? You want to stay and hang out? Hey, she can stay right here all day. We're okay, right? Good. What's her name? Evie. Thanks for coming, Evie. She's just like, this is my joint, man. I'm hanging out with the pastor today. It's all good. Last week, we had the honor and privilege of welcoming some people into the life of the church. We welcomed 10 new families who said, I want to make Royal Oak First my church home. Today, we are blessed to have at least one more family that wasn't able to be with us last week that would like to take this opportunity to join us in membership today. And I said, hey, let's do it. So it's not in the bulletin. Are you okay if we do something that's not in the bulletin? All right. Don't tell the bishop we're doing something that's not in the bulletin. Would you welcome Dave and Dana Beatty to come on up here for a moment? If you would just do us a favor of just introducing yourself to the congregation. Tell us your name. Tell us where you live. And the third thing is, where do you think God might ask you to help us serve?
I'm Dave Beatty, and this is my wife, Dana, and we live in Bloomfield Hills, and we've known Pastor Jeff for a long time. We're really excited about being here, and I look forward to getting involved in local missions and helping out with finance in any way I can.
Oh, good. Finance committee.
So I'm Dana, his wife, and we live with him. And I did the Hands for Hope last week and enjoyed that, so I look forward to more opportunities like that. And I volunteered to work in the office one afternoon a week to help Lori O'Donnell.
Hey, good.
Starting as we come and see her. And also looking forward to the Women's Bible Study starting Tuesdays.
Great. Thank you. This is Dave and Dana, who have been journeying with us over the course of this summer, and at this point have decided that this is where they want to make their church home. Dave and Dana, I'm going to ask you some questions. There's no test to get into this church or into God's kingdom, but the answer to all these questions is yes, okay? It's real simple. I ask you, as you stand here at this moment of your journey, will you support this church with your presence? Will you do what you can to be here when you can be here? Because your presence makes a difference. If so, say we will.
We will.
Will you support this church with your prayers? Will you pray for it? For its members, for its mission, and for its ministries? And will you put yourself on a path to grow in your own prayer life, in your own spiritual connection with God? If so, say we will.
We will.
We support this church with your gifts. Will you make a financial investment in the life of this congregation, knowing that the gifts that you give not only keep the lights on here, but let God's light shine throughout this community? If so, say we will.
We will.
Will you support this church with your service? Will you find a place to use your hands and use your feet and use your heart and use your gifts so that others may know the blessing of God? If so, say we will.
We will.
We will. And finally, will you support this church with your witness? Will you tell others about what God is doing here at Royal Oak First? Will you invite a friend to come along on this journey? Will you live a life so that others would say, whatever they've got, I want a part of that too? Will you support this church with your witness? If so, say we will. Brothers and sisters of Royal Oak First, I now ask you, will you receive Dave and Dana into our communion? And will you do all that you can to uphold and support them with your presence, with your prayers, with your gifts, with your service, and with your witness? If so, say we will.
We will.
Well, I don't see any reason why we can't open the doors of the church really wide open at this point. Brothers and sisters, if you would be willing to come on forward, if you are, would like to just stand with them in this moment of reception and lay some hands on them as we welcome them into the life of the church. This is a new thing that I do. You'll get used to it. It's not a big deal. Dave and Dana, take a look around this circle. You are surrounded by people that you may not know by name yet, but in spirit, you are one. We welcome you and receive you into the life of this church, and we simply ask that God would lift you up now, strengthen you for the journey that lies ahead, and put you to work here in this part of his vineyard, so that the fruit that bears through your witness may bring others into this community as well. Dave and Dana, on behalf of our Lord and Savior, we welcome you to this place. Welcome home. We are glad you're here. God loves you, and there's nothing you can do about it. Amen. Brothers and sisters, welcome Dave and Dana. And Dave and Nick. All right, get him a box of envelopes and a job. If you were ever interested in finding out more about membership here in the life of the church, all you got to do is pull me on the jacket and say, hey, I want to have a talk with you. Maybe, just maybe, I too have found a place where I want to put down some roots and a place where I want to let my wings soar. Your gifts make a difference. They keep the doors of this place open, not just open for us, but open for new people who are looking for a place to land in this, their journey. I invite our ushers to come forward at this time, and I invite you to give with a joy-filled spirit. I just unmuted it, so thanks for catching that, Joe. I invite you to kind of center yourself in God's presence that is here among us. And I invite you into a moment of prayer. As we breathe in God's Spirit, we release all that's weary and heavy laden upon us. As we breathe in God's Spirit, we let go of all of the uncertainties that await us in the week to come. As we breathe in God's Spirit, we let go and we trust that God's hand is upon us and upon this entire creation. Thank you, Lord, for waking us up this morning and giving us yet another gift of the day, a chance to enjoy your creation, the sun on our cheeks, the breeze at our back, the sound of the birds, and the colors that are changing all around us. God, let us not lose sight of all the ways that you are around us today. God, I know that there are some in here today that need hope. I pray that you would bring it. God, I know that there are some in here today that need healing. May they receive it. And God, we are mindful today of our brothers and sisters in places like Haiti who woke up this morning and had to rebuild again. God, may we, your church, be connected, and may our circle be so wide to as include those a half a world away. I prepare you now to be joined together in unison prayer as Joan leads us.
The prophet Micah asks on our behalf, "What shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before God on high? What can we possibly give to God to make ourselves acceptable? We have sinned and fallen short of God's glory." Micah affirms, "What does the Lord require of you but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God?" May we offer to God our lives, our total selves, our commitment to do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly with our God. As forgiven people being transformed into the very image of Christ, We thank God for the opportunity to serve. May God bless this congregation and its ministries, service, and witness. Amen. And now let us join together in the prayer that Jesus taught. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Over this fall, we've been asking ourselves a question here at Royal Oak First. And that question is, why do we do what we do? Because we have heard and learned and discovered that churches sometimes forget why they do what they do. They become pretty clear on what they do, and sometimes they're pretty clear on how they do it, or at least how it should be done. But when we forget the why of what we do, we lose some of that power and some of that focus. So we've been talking over these last few weeks, reminding ourselves of why. Why do we gather here every week? Why do we give our offerings? Why do we sing our songs? Why do we work so hard to keep this little place of God's kingdom open? And we've been pretending that we have this little red stamp that says, that's why. So that when we see it, you can walk up to it and go, that's why. That's why. At 9 o'clock this morning, it was easy. There were 14 fourth through eighth graders singing at 9 o'clock in the morning on a weekend and kind of liking it. 14 reasons why we do what we do. And it was the first time I kind of got caught off guard, like one of those 14 was mine. I'm used to being the pastor, but all of a sudden I was also the dad. I was like, yeah. And that's my kid up there who doesn't do anything I ask him to do, so I'm glad he did it for you. Right? That's why we do what we do. 1,472 pairs and counting of socks so that Amy can spend her winter on the front lines giving hope to the world. That's why. That's why we do what we do. We started out 5 weeks ago and said we do what we do because the world needs hope and it needs hopeful people, and Royal Oak First is going to be a place of hope. We turned around the next week and said Royal Oak First is going to be a place of transformation because we believe the love of God and the inclusion in the body of Christ still changes lives. We came back the next week and Caleb reminded us that we're going to be a place that frees people. Not just frees us from the hang-ups and the hurts and the habits that sometimes hold us back, but that we will be free to become people who change the world. Last week, we said we want to be cheers. Thank you. Right on cue. Instead of survivor. No, all right, sorry. We want to be a place where we welcome people and not wait to vote them off the island. We said we're going to be a place of belonging for those that are looking for a place on their journey. Dave and Dana, you remind us today of why we exist. And today we end this time with the note of service. It's the culmination for me of why we do what we do. Joan is going to bring us into God's Word, and God's Word in that 13th chapter of the Gospel of John will center us in the rest of our time here. This morning, whatever day it is.
After he washed the disciples' feet, he put on his robes and returned to his place at the table. He said to them, "Do you know what I have done for you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you speak correctly because I am. If I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you too must wash each other's feet. I have given you an example. Just as I have done, you also must do. I assure you, servants aren't greater than their master, nor are those who are sent greater than the one who sent them. Since you know these things, you will be happy if you do them. This is the word of God for the people of God.
I got a confession this morning. I don't like my feet. Does anybody else here not like their feet? I know, right? Those are my feet. They're terrible. I sent that over to Caleb. He said, where'd you find those? On uglyfeet.com? Right? You know, is there a website for people with ugly feet? No, those are my feet. I hate my feet. They're ugly, right? I don't like my feet at all. My toes are crooked. They're misshapen. They're bony. My toenails are weirdly shapen. Some are weirdly colored. I just don't like my feet. And ask my wife. She doesn't like them either. She doesn't just like the way they look. She doesn't like the way they smell, right? I have one of those guys that just has smelly feet. I hate to tell you, but they're like this weird combination of like Cool Ranch, Doritos, and like skunk butt, right? I mean, like, it's just not a good thing, man. I hate my feet. Does anyone else here not like their feet, right? There's some people who just don't like their feet, right? I mean, I don't like my feet so much. I don't even like people to look at my feet. And here they are. I'm like just uncomfortable with this right going on right now. You should have seen this row of middle schoolers up here during this thing. They're just sort of like, oh my God, those are the worst. And I was like, oh, like move the slide, right? Please. Yeah, feel free, Mark. You can take that off there now. That's fine. Thank you. Yes. Right? Yeah, no, thank you. They're applauding for the moving of the feet, right? I mean, I'd rather just keep my feet hidden, right? I'd rather keep them covered up. I don't like people to see them. I'm not proud of my feet. I'm embarrassed of my feet. I don't like my feet. And so then suddenly, here comes Jesus, and he's like, Nelson, let me see your feet. I don't want to show you my feet, Jesus. I'm Jesus. Give me your feet. I don't want to show you my feet, Jesus. Nelson, let me see your feet. So I show him my feet. He's like, take off your shoes. I don't want to take off my shoes, Jesus. Take off your socks, Nelson. No, I don't want to take off my socks, Jesus. Jesus, if you'd have told me that you were going to do this foot washing thing, I would have liked a week's notice. I would have washed my feet before I came to church if I'd have known you were going to do that, Jesus. I would have went to the, got a pedicure. I would have cleaned my feet up for you, Jesus. Why is it that Jesus wants to go to the one place I just would prefer he stay right away from? I mean, isn't that like him? To just go to that one place that I just would as soon keep hidden? That stinky, smelly place that I just don't want anybody to see, and yet that's the one place Jesus says, don't worry. I'm not afraid to go there. I'll go to that place. Nelson, let me see your feet. Jesus, why are you filling that bucket of water? Well, I'm going to wash your feet. No, you're not going to wash my feet, Jesus. Yeah, I'm going to wash your feet, Jeff. Because that's what I do. And that's who I am, and that's why I'm here. That's the story that comes to us today, and it's a story that we often hear at Easter time. It comes out of the 13th chapter of the Gospel of John. And if you remember what's happening to Jesus at this moment, he's in the upper room. He knows, he feels, he senses that his time with his friends is limited. So he calls them together for a last meal. I want to eat with my buddies one more time. I'm going over to Dave's for barbecue one more time. And it's there with his friends that the scene is set like this. It says, before the festival of Passover, Jesus knew that his time had come to leave this world and go to the Father. So having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them fully. Oh, I love that line. Having loved those who are in the world, he loved them fully. You want to know what the love of God looks like? Watch this story. Because this is what it says, is Jesus loved those he loved fully. And this is what the fullness of God's love looks like. It said he poured water into a wash basin and he began to wash the disciples' feet, drying them with the towel he was wearing. That's what love looks like, full love. He poured a basin full of water and he took the disciples' feet one by one and he washed them off, foot washing. In the first century world of Jesus, you wouldn't have a dinner party if there wasn't somebody who wasn't assigned to wash everybody's feet. Jenny's like, I'm not going to that party, man. That's disgusting, right? You know, it's an act of hospitality in the first century world to have your feet washed. I don't know what your act of hospitality is when you have guests over, but I imagine you haven't assigned one of your beer kids to wash somebody's feet. Are you the foot washer? No, right? There's no foot washer, right? I don't know what you do. In our house, Bridget's got a set of towels that come out. They're the guest towels, right? She's got three boys, and two male dogs in her house, and she wants nice towels when the visitors come over. So we're not allowed to touch the guest towels. Do you have guest towels in your house? You're not allowed to touch the guest towels. They're an act of hospitality. Foot washing was that act of hospitality. It's what you did for your friends. It's what you did for your guests. And remember, in the first century world of Jesus, Nike hadn't been invented yet. There was no Adidas. There was no Chuck Converse All-Stars. People walked around barefoot, or if they could afford sandals, they had them. So if you showed up after a day of walking the dusty roads of Jerusalem, your feet were muddy, maybe even bloody, caked with dirt and mud. Because they didn't have the kinds of shoes that we have, their feet were hard and they were calloused. I've been to a couple of places in this world where shoes are a luxury. I've been to Haiti twice and to West Africa twice. I've seen feet that haven't had the luxury of wearing shoes. And they're hard, and they're calloused, and they're worn. And so in that day, if you came to a party, somebody would take your feet and they would wash them. And that's what Jesus said, I want to do. But it was Peter. You remember Peter? Peter was the one disciple who was supposed to get it, right? He was the president of, he's the president of the choir, man. He's Carolyn over here, right? I mean, he's Carolyn, right? He's supposed to get it, right? You know, and Carolyn's like, shut up, pastor. Just take the spotlight right off of me right now, right? He's supposed to get it. He's the chair of the trustee board. And Jesus says, Peter, let me wash your feet. And Simon Peter says, Lord, are you going to wash my feet? Jesus says, you don't understand what I'm doing now, but later you will understand. No, says Peter, you will never wash my feet. Jesus says, unless I wash you, you have no place with me. Peter doesn't understand why his teacher, why his Lord, why his rabbi, why the one he came to believe was the Son of God, the Son of Man, the King of Kings, the Prince of Princes, the Lord of Lords. Why would this man, who is much more than a man, humble himself and wash their feet? No, says Peter, I should be washing yours. He says, you don't understand what I'm doing right now, but eventually you'll know why. Why I wash your feet. And then he tells them, do you know what I've done for you? You call me teacher, and you call me Lord, and you speak correctly because I am. So if I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, then you must wash each other's. I have given you an example, just as I have done, you must always do. Here is why. Do you remember show and tell day at school? You could tell all the kids you wanted in the classroom about your favorite toy, but when you showed it to them, when you showed them you had the Evel Knievel motorcycle with the thing that you turned, and they saw it, Jesus says, I could tell you all day long what it means to have a servant's heart. But let me show you. One foot at a time. Jesus turns discipleship on its head. And his disciples remembered for the first time what he had said to them years before. He said, "The human one, the Son of Man, I did not come to be served, but I came rather to serve." Flips it all upside down on its head, just like Jesus always does. And what that means for us is it's plain and simple that leadership in the Church of Jesus Christ starts here. You want to be a leader here? And start washing feet. You want to be a leader in my movement, Jesus says? Then here's a towel and here's a basin. Jeff, when it comes time to vet people to be on your most important committees, ask yourself first and foremost, are they willing to wash somebody's feet? If they're willing to do that, then put them on whatever committee they want to be on. Leadership in Jesus' movement starts here. It starts with the people who are willing to wash each other's feet. People who are willing to serve each other. And here's the plain and simple truth. Jesus doesn't mind getting down and dirty. Aren't you glad we serve a dirty Savior? Right? Don't you want Christianity to be a dirty word again? Don't you want the world to say, man, those Christians, they go right where it's needed. They go right where it's messy. They go right where it's smelly. They go right where it's dirty. Because Jesus says, take me to your feet. I'm not afraid to go to your feet. Take me to that place you don't want the world to see. Take me to the place that's hidden behind closed doors. Take me to those forgotten places. Jesus says, I want to be involved in a church that's willing to go the 2.5 blocks down the road over there to the corner where we have a homeless shelter for teenagers. Common Ground Sanctuary, 150 teenagers this year will travel through that place 2.5 blocks from this church, wondering if anybody even knows that they're there. Jesus says, take me there. Take me there with you. Amy says, do you know that there are thousands of men who will walk through my doors this winter who will just wonder if their toes will survive? Will you help me cover those? Take me there, says Jesus. Take me there. Take me to those feet. Take me to Earhart Elementary School, where I was last week with Tim Huber, who took fish dinner money. You think you eat fish because it tastes good? You eat fish so that Tim can go down and repair bikes for kids in the most forgotten neighborhood in southwest Detroit. Earhart Elementary School. I asked the principal, tell me about your school. She says, here's what you need to know about my school. My school is for the kids who can't get the grades enough to get into the best school, and it's for the kids who can't afford to go to the charter school. I get the kids that nobody else wants. That's our school. Jesus says, take me there. That's why I wash feet, so that you, in turn, will know to wash the feet of others too. I'm not afraid to go where it's dirty, says Jesus. And I pray that my church will go there too. Jesus made it very clear to us. The secret to life is service. If I, your Lord and Savior, will wash your feet, then you should wash each other's. Did you ever discover that following Jesus is all about downward mobility? Right? You want to get your life messed up? Follow Jesus. Right? I mean, and it's so strange to be a Jesus follower in this, our kind of middle class Western American mindset, where I've been taught since day one, Jeff, if you want to make it in this world, climb, succeed, do the next step. And don't you for 1 minute think that we pastors don't do that in our own professional career. Don't think we aren't checking out what churches are bigger than the other ones. We have a little thing called steeple envy. Right? We know who's got the biggest steeple in town, right? You know? We check that stuff out. I'm sorry, Pete. I know that'll take you all day to get rid of that one. That or my feet. I don't know which one's going to be harder for you to shake. But it's all weird. Because we follow this Savior who said, you want to follow me? Then humble yourself and wash somebody's feet. Downward mobility. Are you willing to go where I'm willing to go? Are you willing to wash the feet of who I'm willing to wash? And I'm so grateful that we get to end this series of saying that's why we do what we do. Because I believe that God has brought me to a church that gets it. That gets it. I'm too new here to know anything that's really going to happen to us in the next few years. But one thing I'm pretty clear about pretty early is that we, Royal Oak First, are going to become known as the church of the neighborhood that knows how to serve. Because you already know how to serve. And because of that, I just get to help you know how to do it more and 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 more. My hope is that in the next couple of years, I'll walk out into the community and they'll say, "You're that new pastor in town." I say, "Yeah." They go, what church do you go to?" And I won't have to say the one next to Pronto's anymore. We're the church next to Pronto's. That's how I describe us. "Oh, yeah, I know that church, right? I'm a Methodist church. Where is that?" "Oh, the one next to Pronto's. Oh, yeah, I know that church." What I want to say is, "Yeah, I go to that Methodist. Oh, that's the one that takes care of the homeless kids over on Woodward, right? That's that church. I heard about that church. Oh, that's the church that does a bag lunch program 5 days a week for the hungry and homeless. That's that church, right?" That's what we want to be known for. Not for the biggest church, not for the coolest church. We have great music and we love our music, but we want to be known for the church that knows how to wash each other's feet and wash the feet of the world around us. So I imagine that in the next few years, we will become a church that really knows how to serve. I hope that within the next year that you could walk up to any member of this church and you could say, "Hi, I'm Jeff, where do you serve?" And they'd be able to tell you immediately their place of service. Because that's who we are here at Royal Oak First. We make a difference. We know how to serve. I imagine we'll develop strategic partnerships with people like the NOAA Project and Common Ground Sanctuary and Earhart Elementary School and CAST Social Services and the Redford Brightmore Initiative, that they will rely on us in order to help them do their mission and service in the world. I believe that we will integrate mission and service throughout our entire program. You want to know one of the most exciting conversations I've had this fall was with that guy right there. Yeah, you. Yeah, you, right? Our new director of worship and arts. And we started talking about, how do we make music missional? How do we take this great music program that we have and make it missional, right? And we said, what do we take this choir on a tour? On a tour, but let's not go to the big steeple churches. Let's go to Tecumseh. You ever been to the Methodist Church in Tecumseh? This morning, 40 people are there. They haven't had a choir sing in that church in 35 years. How cool would it be if our choir showed up there on a Sunday in Tecumseh and sang the songs of the faith that those old saints haven't heard sung like we just get the privilege of hearing you sing today? What would it mean if we took our choir and our music program out to the nursing homes and hospitals? At my last church, Art and I had this privilege one day of going up to sing at the name of the place now. Yeah, we hang up at Henry Ford, and we walked in, and old Ralph Pover. Ralph Weigel, thank you. Somebody, yes, thank you. Ralph Weigel was there, and he'd been the old saint of the church, and he sang in the choir for lots and lots of years. We went in, and we sang, and the whole nursing home waiting room filled up. We hadn't planned it, but Art, when Art's with you, he has to sing How Great Thou Art. And he sang it, and we cried. And the next morning, old Ralph died. And he died with the sounds of the church around him, because music became missional. And it was used not just to serve ourselves, but it became a way to wash the feet of others. We have a music program that needs to be unleashed on the world. And I look forward to seeing the ways we do it. I look forward to all of these 14 kids that were sitting up here today having mission and service integrated into their life. By the time you graduate from high school here at Royal Oak First, you will know one thing. You'll know how to do mission. You'll know how to do service. You'll know that following Jesus means collecting socks, and it means bagging food, and it means going on mission trips. Who wants to go on a mission trip? How come kids are the only ones that get to go on mission trips, right? We should take some adults on some mission trips, right? I've been to Haiti twice. That's the little church that we adopted in a little seaside village outside of Jeremy, which is your name you've been hearing on the TV a lot this week. We adopted that. That church has been built by United Methodists over the years. Here's what you need to know about the United Methodist Church in communities like Gomier, this little forgotten place of the world. That is the most significant building for miles around. And it's not just a church where people worship. It's a church where 145 kids go to school every day. It's a place where the only hot lunch that some of these kids will get all day is served out of that church. It is a place where people come for community meetings. It's where the mobile clinic comes. The Methodist Church in a community like that isn't just a church. It's a beacon of hope and light. And I talked to my friends in Haiti this week, or I got word from my friends in Haiti this week, that that church has been destroyed. Wiped out. And starting over again. Friday, I was getting word of that, and my buddy Dave Beer was over, because Dave is serving by the trustees, and our water heater went out. So he's over there to help me figure out how to take care of my water heater. And I said, Dave, it's gone. He says, we'll just have to go rebuild it. We'll just have to go rebuild it. We'll just have to go rebuild it. So maybe sometime in this next year, we'll talk about how we're going to go down and be the hands and feet of Jesus in a place that needs it. And you don't even have to go that far. This is what Faith is doing down at Cass. She's building little homes, right? She wants to put 40 of these homes on a city block in the middle of Detroit so that homeless people, or formerly homeless people, don't just have a place to live, but they have a home they can own. Don't you want that? I want that little house, right? But more importantly, don't you want to help her build some? Don't you think Royal Oak First ought to help build one of those houses? I mean, we're raising $4 million to build our own house. Why don't we try to figure out how to find $40,000 to build someone else their home? And if we can't do it by ourselves, let's find five other churches that would put $10,000 in, and together the five of us could do something we couldn't do on our own. In fact, I think we should invite Canton Friendship to join us. They're feeling pretty bad about getting beaten in the socks. I think we should beat them again in raising money to build a house. Don't you? Right? I mean, that's the kind of church I want to be involved in, and I know it's the kind of church you want to be involved in. Let's expand our bag lunch program. So not that it just feeds people's souls, but it helps them get a hand up in this world. Let's make regular work, make a difference work days where guys can show up and women can show up. I mean, this was an amazing thing. We went down for Hands for Detroit, and our group like brought every tool under the sun, man. They were ready to work, right? And they like had us picking up trash, and my guy's like, I brought a chainsaw, man. Give me a tree, Nelson. I am cutting it down. Right? I'm cutting a tree down. Where's John? John was like, I'm cutting a tree down. I imagine chainsaw day. For you guys who like chainsaws, we'll have chainsaws. My brothers and sisters in Clarkston, they have a thing called Righteous Mission. That's where men and their chainsaws, they just go to town in these overgrown lots up there, right? So we can go and do that. Let's make more blankets and send them out into the world. That is why you are here, isn't it? Isn't that why you're here? Don't you want to make a difference in the world? Don't you want to be involved in something just bigger than yourself? Don't you just want to change the very course of this history of this world? I do. And Jesus gave us the tool to do it. That's all you need. It's a basin, some water, and a towel. Go and wash the feet. Go and wash the feet.
That's right. We're getting a little radical in here this morning. Don't worry.
His feet are much better than mine.
Yeah, I got some funny looking toes too, man. Don't worry. But this is a chance. We are going to break some boundaries, because this whole life with Jesus flips it on its head. And sometimes we think, oh, finally, comfortable pews in this sanctuary, we get to relax and just enjoy. Oh no. Are you ready to dip in? Because we've been talking about that's why for 5 weeks. This is why. That weird thing we do, we're going to take those risks because it's going to change the world. Do you believe it? Do you believe? Thank you, Lori. Do you believe it? You know, you don't have to say yes if you don't believe it, but I'll tell you, I do. Jeff, would you get up here?
Thank you. privilege to serve alongside you.
All the room was hushed and still, and when the bowl was filled, he stooped to wash their feet, and when it was complete, he said, "This is what I'm asking you to do. This is why I'm kneeling here beside you. This is what I want my church to be. This is what I want the world to see. Who it is you follow. Love each other, one another. Love each other in the way that I have loved you. Walk together, and whatever comes, love each other in the way that I have loved you." Let the room be hushed and still. Let us go to where he kneels and join him as he serves and learn his ways of love. He said, "This is what I'm asking you to do. This is why I'm kneeling here beside you. This is what I want my church to be. This is what I want the world to see. Who it is you follow. Love each other. One another, love each other in the way that I have loved you. Walk together, and whatever comes, love each other in the way that I have loved you. Love each other. One another, love each other in the way that I have loved you.
but it won't make a difference if we don't bring the towel and basin along with it. Let us be a community committed to service and washing each other's feet and going out into the world and washing them on His behalf. For Jesus came not to be served, but to serve. And those of us that know Him get the privilege of doing the same. Would you stand and let us sing?
Yes.
Jesus, you can have my feet, and you can have my hands, you can have my heart, you can have my life. Take it and use it to serve the world that you came to love. Brothers and sisters, let us be that place. That is why we are here. Go in peace. May the peace of God go with you. Amen?
Amen?
Give someone a hug or a handshake on the way out, all right? Don't leave me hanging, bro. Thank you.
Look, I can't see Brian at all. I'm sorry, man. Hey.